This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Hurricane Katrina made landfall just east of New Orleans early this morning. In the hours since, it's been downgraded to a Category 2 hurricane, but that still means winds over 100 miles an hour, heavy, at times torrential rains, and flooding in places with a storm surge of 15 feet now expected. Joining us now is Colonel Pete Schneider. He's with the State of Louisiana's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. He's in his office in Baton Rouge, the capital of Louisiana, where they've been assessing the hurricane damage statewide. Thanks very much for being with us. Colonel Schneider is not with us yet. We'll try to get through to him in Baton Rouge. As you can understand, the phone lines to that part of the country have been congested and difficult through much of the day. And joining us now on another phone line that's been difficult to get is NPR's John Burnett, who's in a hotel in New Orleans. John, good to speak with you.
Hi, Neil.
Have you been able to leave the building yet?
Only briefly. This hurricane is taking quite a while to leave. It's still extremely blustery outside. There's all kinds of sharp metal roofing and different debris that's blowing through the air. So no one has really gotten out very much yet, even the National Guard.
What is it like from what you can tell outside?
Well, I think that the best description was it was the best eventuality of the worst possible scenario. They dodged the bullet, but they still got a sound bruising. There is the levee, the famed levee, the 130-mile levee that surrounds the city of New Orleans, has been breached by this storm in a couple of places. One would be the lower Ninth Ward, the Jackson Barracks, which they're very concerned about. We heard reports of people on rooftops, people trying to batter their way out of attics with axes. But that's not widespread. I think we're hearing more of flooding on the order of 1, 2, maybe 3 feet. And in a lot of places, there's no flooding at all. Many buildings have sustained damage because, you know, when you have 145-mile-per-hour winds, there's just not many buildings that are, you know, built to for everything to stay tacked on at that point. So there are plate glass windows that are out all over downtown. As I said, there's roofing material. There are palm trees down. There's these pieces of foam that are crazily flying through the air, you know, several hundred feet high. So it's been quite a show, Neil. Been quite a show.
I understand that, people are seeking refuge in all kinds of places, but that includes your hotel.
That's right. And they opened up, of all things, the covered tennis court to a lot of local residents who moved in and then slept there overnight. And then there was apparently an atrium ceiling made of glass, and so some of the glass plates started shattering as the storm really got rolling early this morning, just after daybreak. And so with a great clatter, it fell into the tennis court and brought a lot of soaked ceiling material with it. Terrified the residents, and so the children were screaming, and everyone hurried out of that area and then moved a couple of floors down to a ballroom where they were thoroughly shaken up. As one woman said, I was woken up by Hurricane Katrina this morning.
Now, as I understand it, you said that in a way the city dodged a bullet. The storm made a track slightly to the east of the city, and that puts the New Orleans on the weaker side of the storm. But there's been concern all day about what happens if it could whip up the water on Lake Pontchartrain and drive that into the city of New Orleans.
Well, frankly, I think that would have happened if it was going to happen in a big way. I mean, we know that there has been some leakage from Pontchartrain and maybe some small failure of some of the levee, but nothing on the order of the images that the computer models where they had 10 feet of water in Jackson Square up to the doors on the St. Louis Cathedral. I mean, that didn't happen. But by the same token, I mean, I said it dodged the bullet. I probably was a little too upbeat on that. Everybody that I've talked to inside the hotel, including actually a woman that one of our producers talked to, Irma Gibbs, 101 years old, who's staying on the 26th floor, she has never seen a storm this bad. That includes Hurricane Betsy in 1965, Hurricane Camille in 1969. This is the worst storm on record for living New Orleanians. And what she told us is And she considered themselves fortunate, too. She said, New Orleans has been blessed. We shouldn't complain. What we should do is pray for those people who have lost their homes.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us anything about what's going on with the, I think it's 9,000 people or were inside the great domed building, the Superdome.
Yeah. Yeah. The football arena, which I think has been very rowdy, and I know during I was here in Hurricane George in 1998, and they had all kind of problems with those people coming from the neighborhoods in and tearing things up, and I don't know if it's been any better this time around, but I'm sure they you know, there's no electricity, there's no air conditioning, there's no light, there's no food. Unless they brought their own water, there's none of that. So, you know, and there's something on the order of 25,000, 30,000 people in there. I'm sure they're clamoring to get out, but again, there's sharp stuff flying through the air still in downtown New Orleans. Hopefully, by the end of the day, you know, it'll be possible for some folks to come out. But you know how the authorities are in these situations. They're very, very cautious, and they really don't want people venturing back to their homes until they've tested bridges and they've, you know, tested power lines and everything is safe.
John, you be cautious, too.
Thanks, Neil.
NPR's John Burnett joining us by phone from his hotel in New Orleans. And now Colonel Pete Schneider joins us. He's, again, with the state of Louisiana's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness and joins us from his office in Baton Rouge. Good to have you with us, Colonel.
Good afternoon.
What's the latest you're hearing about damage reports from around the state?
Well, it sounds like you've had a pretty good bird's-eye view there. What we're hearing is we kind of did dodge a bullet. We dodged that bullet that we were planning for. We do have some extensive flooding in St. Bernard Parish, Plaquemines Parish. We do have some structural damage in those parishes. As you heard, we've got windows knocked out in several high-rises in New Orleans. We had a levee along the Industrial Canal that was breached by tidal surge, mm-hmm. Did some extensive flooding. We've lost part of the covering of the roof of the Superdome. Almost a million people without power. We've got about 26,000 evacuees and 122 shelters throughout the state. We're asking those people to stay put. It's still a dangerous storm. We have been formulating our response plan for several days now, and as soon as the weather clears, we're going to try and get out there and first priority of search and rescue and then begin the recovery efforts.
Mm-hmm. Do you have the feeling, though, that the worst is over?
Well, we don't want to say the worst is over. It's certainly better than it was earlier today. However, we're still experiencing the tail end of this storm. It's such a powerful storm that, we still got a few hours of some heavy winds and some heavy rains. You know, New Orleans is still in that bowl and still can't hold the water. So it's going to fill if we get one of those heavy downpours.
Well, John Burnett gave us a pretty good picture of New Orleans. What's it like there in Baton Rouge?
Well, in Baton Rouge, we've experienced some squall lines and some heavy winds. There are extensive power outages here due to tree falling. We've got some very, very minor flooding, but nothing compared to what's going on in New Orleans and certainly what along the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
I know that there's great concern in the longer term for the oil industry in terms of a refining capacity and all of that. I think 25% of the U.S. Domestic oil supply gets pumped out of the Gulf of Mexico. What happened with the all the people who work on those rigs?
Well, those rigs were evacuated quite early. Before it even got into the Gulf. Once it first entered the Gulf, those rigs were evacuated. When those workers come in, most of them live throughout Louisiana. If they lived in the affected areas, they would have had to have gone home and packed up their families and head out. But we heard there was very good success from the Coast Guard in the evacuation of those platforms. And believe me, as soon as possible, those workers will be boarding up and heading back out there so they can get those production back in line.
Is there any way to know anything about what condition the storm left those platforms in?
No, it's hard to tell. Not until the Coast Guard can get out there or the workers themselves. You know, there are thousands of platforms out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we're going to be able to tell is once we get out there and see if there's been any damage.
Mm-hmm. Is this the biggest storm you've lived through?
Yes, sir, it is. I've been doing emergency management business for 21 years. You know, I think this is only the third Cat 5 to ever hit the coast. So I think it's going to be a big one for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, as you say, you've been doing planning on this particular storm for days, but you must have been doing, in a way, planning for this particular storm for decades.
Yes, sir. You know, it's a way of life here in Southeast Louisiana. You have to prepare for this one. And each year, as we prepare for storms, we get smaller ones. We build on them. We learn from them, all in preparation of this. It's a matter of, you can't control these storms. You can't control how strong they are. But what you can control is your response. And Louisiana has spent years preparing a response that gets out there, gets the supplies needed, brings together every state agency we have. I'm currently in the operations center now, where every state agency has members. And FEMA is here, and we're coordinating the response very effectively. I think it's going to go well.
If it's early days, very early, but what do you think will be the lessons learned from Hurricane Katrina?
Well, I hope the lessons learned, first of all, are those who evacuated thought it was the right decision, and those who did not evacuate and survived, well, when the next storm comes, regardless of a tropical storm or a Cat 5 hurricane, they will heed the warning of their emergency managers and evacuate. That's the lesson we hope everybody learns every time. We'll learn lessons as we formulate our response and as we execute our response. We'll learn better ways to do things.
I wonder, did your systems, obviously you're talking about a lot of power lines down, phone lines down, that sort of thing. Did your communication system hold up?
No, the phone lines are down into New Orleans, but we're communicating via 800 megahertz radios and also satellite phones. But a lot of the landlines down there, a lot of the landlines are down in southeastern part of the state. So we're communicating via radio, handheld radio.
Colonel Schneider, I'm sure you got to get back to work. We appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Pete Schneider from the State of Louisiana's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, and he joined us from his office in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Mississippi has also been hard hit by Katrina. Matt Williamson is the news editor for the Enterprise Journal, which is based in Macomb, Mississippi, and he joins us now from his office. Mr. Williamson, good to talk to you.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
What have you seen in the southern part of Mississippi as this storm moves inland?
Oh man, I mean there's a lot of wind, there's a lot of rain, a lot of downed trees, there's just massive power outages. You know, it's really tough to get anywhere, and honestly I don't think anybody really needs to be out in it right now.
Obviously, the problems of New Orleans are unique due to geography, that bowl that leaves much of the city below sea level. Southern Mississippi is different.
Yeah, it's as a matter of fact, right when you cross the state line, about 20 miles south of us, you start to get less of the flatland of Louisiana, and we have some slight rolling hills, and so the geography is a good bit different than say southeastern Louisiana for sure.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, a blessing.
Well, yeah, I mean that's not to say that we won't get any flooding, but you know, so far I haven't really heard anything about flooding. We're supposed to get something like 10 inches of rain from Katrina, but you know, right now, you know, I've been stuck at the office listening to a police scanner, and right now it seems like downed trees, downed power lines, that things of that nature seem to be the issue with this storm. It's, you know, it's getting to the point to where, you know, downed trees and downed power lines are making it hard for emergency teams to respond to incidents. And as a matter of fact, you know, earlier today I got a phone call at my desk and you know, I answered the phone, nothing but screams, and so I tried to figure out who was calling me back, and I ended up calling my some family who lives here, and a tree had just crushed their house. But so they're standing out there with all the debris, but nobody can get out to their place because the roads going out to their house are impassable due to trees and power lines and washed out bridges, stuff like that.
I would assume that southern Mississippi is not only people who live there, but also some people who left New Orleans.
Yeah, most of the people in our evacuation shelters are from New Orleans, and that's usually the case. Macomb is right up there on 55. It's right between Jackson and New Orleans, and it's always somewhat of a safe haven for people coming up from Louisiana. And And so that's, yeah, most of the people in the shelters are from New Orleans. But according to our civil defense director, I was interviewing him earlier, and he was saying that there are quite a few local people in there, and which is a good thing because, you know, if you're talking about people who live in, you know, what he calls insufficient structures, you know, mobile homes and things of that nature, I mean, it's probably good that they evacuated and got to one of these churches that are serving as storm shelters.
Mm-hmm. You've been stuck in the office, you say, but I know you were out in the storm earlier. What was it like?
It's nothing you want to be in. It's nothing you want to be in. And I was when I was in it, the real strength of the storm hadn't hit us yet. And it's just basically kind of been coming in bands. And you know, we're sitting here without power. We haven't seen a map of the hurricane. We don't really know where it's at. We're getting phone calls saying, you know, that it's probably a good bit east of us, maybe in the Columbia or Hattiesburg area. So we don't know if the eye is passing over us or whatever. But we're speculating that we're just getting bands of weather. Because, I mean, you know, one minute it's the winds are you know, huffing and puffing and knocking trees down and all that stuff. And next minute it seems like it's calm. And then, you know, then it's back to more sideways rain. You know, and we're watching trees kind of fall down around our office and stuff like that. And, you know, it seems like it's going to be a mess to clean up.
Mm-hmm. Gonna take...
It's going to be quite a mess to clean up.
Have you been able to talk to any people, stories that come out of this storm yet?
Well, it's really hard to communicate because our phones are on backup system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think we just lost all power with our telephones.
So
I think the batteries are dead. But I did speak to a woman in Chattawa, Mississippi, which is right between us and the state line, probably about a good 10 minutes drive south. And she had 21 acres of pine trees. And, you know, timber is a major commodity over here. And you're talking about 21 acres of pine trees. That's worth a lot of money. And you know, and it's gone. You know, she said that she was grateful that the storm had spared her house, but her timber is ruined. And, you know, and that's the kind of, you're talking about the kind of acreage of timber that people can really, you know, set their families up with for a good while. You know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, you're talking about acreage that pays for houses and scholarship, you know, college tuition and stuff like that. You know, that's a significant loss.
Matt Williamson, thanks very much. Hope you get the paper out.
Yeah, we're working on that. We're trying to come up with a plan and see if we can get it printed out of town as we speak and try to worry about the logistics of doing that.
Matt Williamson is news editor for the Enterprise Journal in Macomb, Mississippi. Stay tuned to NPR News for the latest on Hurricane Katrina. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.